You're in hot water now. Fred Fick, written by Muff with a V and read by 42, do not panic. Summary. Merman Frank Castle is wounded hunting down a gang of lobsters. Seriously. Matt looks after him. He wasn't going, he decided. What reason did Frank Castle have to celebrate the Neptune Ball, or as they called it on the surface, Christmas? His pod was destroyed, slaughtered, and scattered to the four currents. It seemed like a long time ago now, or maybe merpeople just had short memories like goldfish, so it seemed like a long time to them. He wished it was that easy for himself sometimes, that he could just forget. He couldn't, or more accurately, he wouldn't, because they deserved more than that. His perfect anglefish, his Maria, and his sweet little sea monkeys, Lisa and Frankie. They deserved to be remembered, to be avenged. He'd done it, and as much as he knew Red thought he should, he didn't regret it. Everyone under the sea had heard of the Punisher. He was wanted in 5 of the 7 seas, and he wasn't wanted in the other 2. It was like Red pointed out oh so helpfully. If you swim with sharks, you're a shark, Frank, he said. He wasn't wrong. Frank Castle was a shark, feared and dangerous, and Red loved him anyway. Red was a different sort to everyone else. He kind of had his head in the clouds in Frank's opinion, which, for a mammon, wasn't normal. That was Red, though. He believed in justice and right and wrong and not taking lives. Frank just didn't have the luxury of half measures, or so he told himself. He'd spent the last year hunting down the lobsters and mobsters responsible. Every one of them deserved what they got, in his opinion. Red didn't agree, but that was Red, wasn't it? Head in the clouds. Frank sighed and circled the wreck he called home. It was a fitting place for the Punisher to put up his flippers and get some rest. He flitted through a hole in the side of the sunken ship, retreating to the captain's quarter to get some shut-eye. It had been a long night. The hard-shell main gang had gone down in much the same way as the soft-shell, brutally, in a way that would be remembered in the Atlantic Ocean for a long time. Frank sighed and settled on the rotten floorboards to inspect himself from torso to tail from injuries. The last thing he needed was to draw a shark in with the smell of his blood. He glared at the graying scales curling and flaking away from his upper tail. The wound was infected. He'd known it for days now. His long, black tail was scored with scars. This wouldn't be the one to end him. He was sure of it, but some extra sea salt salve and the wound wouldn't hurt either. Well, it would. It would hurt like a bitch, but he needed it. He groaned and moved to retrieve a jar of the stuff from his dive bag. Old instincts had his head whipping around just in time to catch sight of a tail fin whipping past the porthole, a trail of bubbles following. Frank's eyes narrowed. Whoever had followed him here was quiet as a clam, suspiciously so. He was just reaching for his trusty bubble gun when the merperson who had been trailing him searched through the opening in the floor in a flurry of scarlet fins. Red. Frank sighed and almost rolled his eyes. Red had found him. His boyfriend never let him off the hook. Everything was going swimmingly until Frank fell for him, hook, line, and sinker. "The hell are you doing here, Red?" he demanded, annoyed that he hadn't realized he was being tailed much sooner. He just figured a shark had caught his scent. Red seemed equally annoyed, his tail fins flicking dangerously as he said sharply, "I've been searching high and low tide for you. I heard what happened with the Hardshell main gang. I thought you were hurt." Frank gave an irritated sigh. "I'm fine, Red." "Give me that," Red snapped, snatching the dive bag from his hand and rifling through it for the jar of sea salt self. Frank groaned as Red practically pinned him to the rotted floor, the boards creaking under their combined weights as Red wrenched the lid of the jar and then scraped off the infected scales of his tail with such fervor that Frank writhed and hissed more wildly than an eel. Red didn't let up until he dropped the salt into every part of the wound he could reach, and Frank knew he should thank him for it, but it burned so much that the only words that left his lips were, "Fuck, and you." "Miss me?" he asked when Red had finished torturing his sore and scarred tail. Red sighed and screwed the lid back on the jar with unnecessary force. "Which part of 'I searched everywhere' didn't you understand, Frank?" "The part where you hate looking for shit," Frank said lightly, tugging teasingly at his boyfriend's hair. I do, Red confirmed, sewing the jar of self back in the dive bag and then shoving it at Frank. He didn't look happy, not that he ever did. Frank put the bag with the rest of his old possessions, secured by an old fishing net, and turned to his boyfriend with a frown. He recognized the signs. Red was damn near twitchy, more reactive than a reef shark who'd just smelled blood in the water. He'd come here because he was worried about him, and that was sweet in an overprotective boyfriend kind of way. He reached for him and said, I'm touched, Red. All this just to get me to go to a party. Red shrugged. Foggy says it's going to be an ocean of fun. Frank shook his head doubtfully and muttered, I don't think our ideas of fun are the same. Maybe not, Red agreed, slipping his hand into Frank's. But will you come anyway? Frank grimaced and almost pulled away. Mahoney will tell me to put my fins out the second I set a flipper on that reef. He won't, Red declared, his tone pleading. I made him promise. Christmas immunity. Neptune, you mean? Like that's a thing. Frank retorted, hesitating for only a moment before giving in. Fine. You've twisted my fin. I'll go. Thank you, Red said gratefully, patting his cheek. The gesture was a little condescending, as was the smug smirk Red wore. He always looked like that when he got his way, like an orca that just snagged a penguin off a beach with minimal effort. Red was dangerous like that too. Anyone who thought he wasn't needed to pay closer attention. What would you have done if I said no again? Frank asked with a smug smile of his own. Red grinned. Oh, you would have been in hot water. Like I wasn't already, Frank muttered, letting go of Red's hand and examining his wounded tail. How bad is it? Red smoothed the hand over his scarred scales and murmured sweetly. You live, I promise. Good to know. Frank grumbled irritably. Red gave a low chuckle, amused by his muteness, no doubt. Then he cupped Frank's cheek with the palm of his hand and pressed a tentative kiss to his lips. Frank wasn't about to be kissed like that, like Red wasn't sure if he meant it. He kissed Red fiercely, aggressively, dragging his teeth over his lower lip, raking his fingernails over the other merman's torso, then pulling at Red's hair, needing it to be this way, rough and desperate. A kiss that Red couldn't explain away later. He pulled back, gulping in cool water, dragging salt into his lungs until it burned, rasping out, I love you, Red, you know that, right? Red smirked. It hasn't escaped my attention. Frank rolled his eyes. All right, let's get this show on the road. I wanna be back here by low tide. I'm beat. Dear, Red agreed. Come on, I hear Foggy's making an amazing plankton pate tonight. Last one there is a rotten sea slug. Frank groaned, but followed the crimson flash of Red's tail fins from the shipwreck, not convinced that Foggy Nelson's plankton pate was an improvement on the sea bean casserole he tried to tempt him with a month ago. He was going for Red, and if the grin Red flashed him over his shoulder was any indication, the bastard knew it. Frank Castle was in way over his head.